John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35 to verse 43, and then John chapter 21. Let's give our attention now to God's holy and infallible word. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." And then turning to the end of John's Gospel in chapter 21. This is after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die, but Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Not long ago, I heard the story, a true story, of a man and a boy who were walking in a forest. And when it came time for them to go home, the man thought that they should take the path to the left. But the boy knew the forest better than the grown-up. Sometimes that happens if it's your forest and the grown-up is just visiting. You know your forest, don't you? Some of you boys and girls know the place where you live very well. Well, that boy knew the forest better than the grown-up man. And he said, "No, if we want to go home, we should take the path to the right." But the man didn't want to listen to the boy, and he would not follow him. So the boy went to the right, and the man went to the left. And it wasn't long after that the boy was on his way home. But the man realized that he was getting more and more lost. So he quickly turned around and took the path on the right and followed the boy home. You know, it's important to follow someone who knows where he is going. And in the Bible, God tells us to follow Jesus. Jesus himself often talks and explains about being a Christian by saying, "Follow me." It's what really describes a Christian. We are people who follow Jesus. Sometimes we think that we know best ourselves, and we don't want to follow anyone else. Or sometimes we think someone else knows better than God, but God tells us to follow Jesus. And we see that in many ways and cases in the Bible. Do you remember the case of a man named Levi, who is also called Matthew? If you were at Vacation Bible School this year, you learned about that story in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus went on from there and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And Jesus told him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. That's what Christians do. They follow Jesus. But you know, not everyone in the Bible followed Jesus. There's the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come," what? follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. You see, not everyone listens to Jesus when he says, follow me. Some people go away the other direction, but let me tell you, sooner or later, they will go away sad. Because God tells everyone, follow Jesus. This morning I heard a story about some people in the congregation who were recently on a trip. And they were trying to find their way somewhere in a different city that they didn't know. Finally, someone said, that's just where I live. Follow me. He knew the way because that's where he lived. You know, when Jesus came to this world, he didn't just tell us the way to go and say, go there. He said something much more wonderful and something that's so much more of a blessing. He said, follow me. He just didn't give us directions for us to try to find our own way. He said, follow me. He has gone to heaven. That's where he lives. And he says to us, follow me. He knows the way. Just like the man in the other city said, I know the way. That's where I live. Follow me. Jesus lives in heaven. He's there now at the right hand of God. And he says, follow me. He knows the way. He is the way. The Bible says that Jesus is the great and the good shepherd. And listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they, fill in the blank, follow me. Sheep follow the shepherd. They listen to the voice of the shepherd. Now, the good shepherd, we know, Jesus, laid down his life for the sheep on the cross. Following Jesus means trusting him so that we can be forgiven because of our sin. And trusting Jesus to give us everything that we need. Like the song that you learned at Vacation Bible School. Faith to follow. Faith to believe. These are things that God gives us because of Jesus. You know, the disciples long ago in Bible times, they could really follow Jesus. He was here on the earth. And if he went from one city to another, they could literally follow him. But you know, as Jesus walked along and as his disciples followed him, it was really what he did and what he said that Jesus wanted them to follow. And for us today, Jesus is now in heaven. What does it mean for you to follow Jesus? He isn't walking on the earth anymore, but we can still follow him by listening to what he says in his word, the Bible. And so when we read the Bible, when we believe it and trust it and obey it, when we trust the promise of God to forgive our sins because of Jesus Christ and then live a life that is pleasing to God, to say thank you for forgiving our sin, that's following Jesus. We follow him by listening to what he says in his word. We see that in the first chapter of John's gospel. As Jesus is calling his special disciples who would be his apostles, who would write the word of God, as the Spirit carried them along, we see that the disciples, Jesus is calling them, and how does he call them? What does he say? John 1:43, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, what? Follow me. That's the way Jesus called Philip. We see that, you see, whether your name is Matthew or Philip, or whatever your name is here tonight, Jesus calls and says, follow me. Whatever your name is, that's what Jesus is calling out to you. Follow me. There was another man who followed Jesus when Jesus called him, and his name was Peter. And in the last chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus talks especially to Peter. And twice in that chapter, he says, guess what? Follow me. You know, often when we read, when grown-ups read the last chapter of John's Gospel, we focus on what Jesus says to Peter, and the question he asks, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Remember, Peter had denied Jesus and said, I don't know him. And as Jesus is bringing him back, he asks that question, do you love me? Peter says, you know I love you. And then Jesus says, feed my sheep. Peter was to be a pastor in a special way of God's people. But you know, even more than teaching and feeding the people of God, Jesus wanted to say something else to Peter. And it's not often the focus of John chapter 21, but it's going to be something I want you to see tonight. He asks three times, do you love me? But twice he says to Peter, follow me. Why does he keep saying that? When the disciples first are called, Jesus says, follow me, and they follow him. Why does Jesus need to keep saying to someone like Peter, follow me? Why does Jesus need to keep saying to you and to me, follow me? See, he's repeating it. Could it be that somehow we would forget that? Could it be that there may be something that would happen that we would stop following Jesus? Well, let's look very carefully at how Jesus talks to Peter and why he says twice, follow me. It's very important for us to see this, because sometimes things happen that might tempt us to stop following Jesus. Do you know, I know already too many people, myself, who have started off by saying that they were following Jesus, and then later on they stopped following Jesus, and instead they followed other people or other things. It can happen that people stop following Jesus. And so we need to see why Jesus repeats himself here to Peter. And the first lesson that we learn here is this. Don't stop following Jesus because of what people might do to you. Don't stop following Jesus because of what people might do to you. Listen again what Jesus says to Peter. I tell you the truth. This is verse 18. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Now, what is Jesus talking about? He was telling Peter what was going to happen in the future. And one day, Peter would have to stretch out his hands, and maybe you've seen it in the news, when someone stretches out their hand, sometimes that's so handcuffs get put on somebody. When the police arrest someone. And there would be a day when Peter would have to stretch out his hands and there'd be chains put on his hands. And someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He would be taken to prison. And eventually, in verse 19, John tells us Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. That he would eventually be killed because of Jesus, following Jesus. And after predicting that in Peter's life, what other people would do to Peter, and you can imagine how frightening that might be. To know that that might happen to you because of Jesus. And then right after that, Jesus says what? Follow me. Don't stop following me because of what other people might do to you. That's the first lesson. You know, as you follow Jesus, there may be things that happen to you because you follow Jesus. People may do all sorts of things to you. They may laugh at you. They may make fun of you. In other countries, people who follow Jesus, they are persecuted. You know about the persecuted church. But what does Jesus say to people when other people start doing things to them? He reminds them, follow me. Follow me. Don't stop following Jesus because of what other people might do to you. Peter had to learn that lesson. And so do we. Because the temptation can be great when the pressure is on to stop following Jesus because of what other people do. People may do all kinds of things to you. May start to think, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore. But Jesus reminded Peter, follow me. The second lesson that we see here in John chapter 21 is this. Don't stop following Jesus no matter what happens to other people. Now listen carefully. After Jesus says the first thing in verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved that was following them. This was the one who leaned back against Jesus at the Last Supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. Now you see what's happening here. Here is the case, not of what other people are doing to Peter, but what Peter sees happening to other people. He looks at the other side and says, well, what about him? What's going to happen to him? And Jesus says, in effect, what we sometimes say to our children, M-Y-O-B, mind your own business. What is that to you? You follow me. You know, there's such an important lesson here for boys and girls and for grown-ups, because we are constantly looking around to other people. And depending on what we see in other people's lives and what other people are doing, it changes the way that we live. Now, there can be a good sense to that when the people are good role models, but there can be a very bad sense to that too. And this is what Jesus is reminding Peter. Don't be looking around to other people. What is that to you? You follow me. We always can be looking around at other people. And we start to think about what is happening to them. Maybe it's good things that are happening to other people. Maybe it's bad things. We may start to think, well, if that is happening to him or to her, then I don't want to follow Jesus. That's the temptation. Maybe someone who doesn't follow Jesus has lots of good things happening to them. And you look at them and you say, well, look, they don't follow Jesus. And they have all these blessings, all these good things. They don't seem to have any problems at all. You know, adults can do this all the time. It's not just something for boys and girls. The Psalms speak about this. Psalm 37, Psalm 73. We begin to envy the wicked. But Jesus said to them, what is that to you? God has his own purpose for giving earthly blessings to wicked people. He has his own purposes in that. But what is that to you? You follow me. That's what Jesus says. Or maybe someone who does follow Jesus, you look at them and you see how hard their life is. You see the things that are happening to them. And you say, well, if that's happening to them, I don't want to follow Jesus. But Jesus reminded Peter, what is that to you? You must, what? Follow me. So no matter what other people are doing to you, and no matter what you see happening to other people, the call is the same. Because the temptation is great. Jesus says to all of his people, you must follow me. You know, in the United States, at one of the American Army forts called Fort Benning in Georgia. There is a statue called Follow Me. It's the statue of a soldier. The soldier is Eugene Wiles, who was a 10-year Army veteran in the 1950s. It was made, this statue, by two soldiers, Private Manfred Bass and Private Carl Van Krog. And they made this statue of Eugene Wiles, who was an officer in the Army. And the statue is of Wiles going into battle. And he has his gun in one hand. And with his other hand, he's looking back to the men behind him. And he's calling them on with his arm, like this, calling them into the battle. And the statue is called, what? Follow Me. Follow Me. The soldier charging forward into battle and gesturing for the others to follow him. Do you know, sometimes in life we do follow other people. We follow our moms and dads. We follow our leaders. If we're in the military, soldiers follow their leaders. And there were some leaders that you wanted to follow into battle, because the real leaders always led from the front. They didn't say, go there. They said, follow me into the battle. But you know, boys and girls, there is a great battle. There is a great battle that no ordinary man can win. And I wouldn't want to follow anyone into that battle other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the battle against sin and death and hell. And only Jesus has won that victory, because the grave was empty. And the one who said to Peter twice, follow me, was the one who was raised from the dead, who proved that he was raised from the dead because he ate the fish with them that morning on the shore. He's the one who has won the battle, the greatest battle. And so he's the one that can lead his people into every other battle that we'll face in this life, in the life to come, the battle against sin and death. Jesus has won this battle. He defeated sin and the devil and the grave. And he stands before us in his word, calling out and gesturing to his people, saying, follow me.